We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know, it's 12:02 right now. If they want to fire me at 12:05, I'll go home and find something to do. I'll have a good day.
Nothing easy. We go to game seven, baby. Game seven.
Welcome, everyone, to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It's Friday, May 7th, 2021. Alex Barutha here with Shannon McEwen. Ken is out today, so it's just a two-man podcast. Let's just jump right into the news. The Lakers might be destined for the play-in tournament here because, Anthony Davis hurt his back last night, and the Lakers lost 118-94 to the Clippers. Lakers have lost 7 of 9 games. They're tied for 6th right now with the Trailblazers. Like I mentioned before, Anthony Davis left the game in the first half due to back spasms. He says he'll play. He's technically listed as questionable for today's game, but we should expect him to play. LeBron is likely to return Tuesday or Wednesday. Schroeder is out until the 15th due to COVID, which I believe is the second to last day of the regular season. So it is looking like, Shannon, that the Lakers will be in the play-in or at least towards the bottom of the, non-play-in teams, which would have them, as of right now, playing the Clippers in the first round.
Yeah, it's a tough scenario for the Lakers, but my guess is the priority is just going to be getting the team healthy between now and when the playoffs start, whether that's the play-in or they get to actually win enough games and forego that. But the key is just being, getting healthy, having LeBron right, having Anthony Davis right, and making sure they're ready to go. Anything can happen in the play-in scenario. But if the Lakers are healthy and they're in that mix, they're going to be the heavy favorite.
Yeah, I think so too. It's if LeBron comes in less than 100% and Anthony Davis is kind of always a threat to come in less than 100%, it's going to be tough against the Clippers, even if most people think the Lakers are just outright the better team. So also yesterday, Kyrie Irving went for 45 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, but the Nets lost their 4th straight game. This time it was to Dallas. Their previous 2 losses were against Milwaukee. James Harden said he's very confident he'll be back before the playoffs. Assuming that's the case, and he gets in at least a little run before the postseason, How do you feel about Brooklyn still? Are you as high on them as you were before? Are the injuries continuing to pile up even more concerning at this point?
Well, it's certainly concerning that Durant, Harden, and Kyrie have not played many minutes together this season. I know Durant and Harden have, you know, their time in OKC to lean on in that end as far as being familiar with each other on the court. But it's still, you know, overall team chemistry is a real thing. We see it every year with these super teams. You know, the Lakers with Anthony Davis and LeBron started a little slow. Back when LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh teamed up with the Heat, they started like 10-10 that season. And, you know, they lost in the finals that year. They needed that extra time to gel. And I do think that's a real thing in the NBA. It's why you always see, you know, I'll refer back to the Pistons and what I saw with them, you know, whether it was Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars or the Ben Wallace, Chauncey Billups teams, they always had to like eventually get there. So, you know, they would get closer and closer every year until they finally made that leap. And even with the super teams, I think we see a little bit of that. It's usually sped up quite a bit. But you can't comp it to like the Warriors and Durant joining that team because they already had the rest of the team. The rest of the core was already there. They had already won championships, and then Durant joins. When you're talking about all these new pieces coming together, it's tough to win that first year. So I am still high on the Nets. I think they're still my favorite to get out of the East, but it's going to be tough. They need Harden back. They need Harden healthy. And it'll be interesting. I think that series against what will most likely be the Bucks in round two is going to be could possibly be the best series of the playoffs.
Yeah, those games they lost to the Bucks, they were both close games. The second game at the end, they were the Nets ended up trying to play hero ball. And they kind of lost, and the Bucks were a little more composed. Budenholzer called timeouts. They made sure to run plays. But it's kind of like, from the perspective of a Bucks fan, it's kind of disconcerting when you play the team close both times. And you're like, when we see this team in the playoffs, they're going to have James Harden too.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. And James Harden, you know, there was some argument for him being in the MVP conversation before he was injured. So it's not like they're just adding a normal all-star. You know, they're adding one of the best players in the NBA to their team. But, you know, the one interesting part of the matchup against the Bucks is I don't think there's anyone that can slow down Giannis. He might average like 40 a game against the Nets, but it might not matter.
Yeah, I mean, he was ridiculous against the Nets. He took more than 30 shots in both games. Like he was just taking every single shot. Like he averaged 42.5 for the series. It was pretty ridiculous. He was abusing DeAndre Jordan in the first game. Blake Griffin was on him more in the second game. It just didn't matter. He was hitting his hook shots and his mid rangers. I mean, that's the case. It's like,
yeah, anyone the Nets can run at him, he's either too strong for that player or too fast and athletic. So they don't have anyone who can stop him.
Yeah, so in the Nets, this most recent loss came to Dallas. Porzingis, again, is hurt. I mean, his status is kind of murky for even next week. I mean, obviously, they're going to want him back before the first game of the postseason starts. Right now, they're in fifth, and they played Denver in the first round if the playoffs ended today. Let's assume Porzingis is healthy, even though that may not be the right assumption. But if he's healthy for the playoffs, how do you feel about Dallas's season? Is there upside like a second round loss?
Yeah, for this year, even with Porzingis, I could see him pushing the Suns or the Jazz, but I do like the Clippers, Nuggets, you know, a healthy Lakers over the Mavericks. They could, depending on matchups, they could sneak into the Western Conference Finals, but I just don't see them coming out of the West this year.
Yeah, I feel like I think if I were them, I'd want to play Phoenix in the second round. And I think that would be their best chance to pull an upset get into the NBA final or the conference finals, I mean. Okay, let's go to not a news item. The most disappointing fantasy players this season. This was an article that I wrote up for the site that also went to CBS. I'm interested on your opinion. I basically just pulled the guys who were typically drafted in the top 100 and fell. A lot of these guys typically fell like 25 spots to 50 spots in some cases. And I mostly was doing this exercise on a per game basis because I didn't want to be like, well, Anthony Davis was disappointed because he missed a ton of games, right? That happens every year. So it kind of came down to guys like Morant, Westbrook, even Blake Griffin, aside from the health. But was there anybody in your mind that stuck out to you or you drafted in a lot of leagues that really let you down?
I think Ja Morant's really the guy. That's who we have as the featured image for that article. And he's the one who really stands out. You know, even Westbrook, I didn't expect him to go out and average 27 points per game again. I knew the percentages were going to be bad with Westbrook. So there's always a risk there. He was a guy who I was only drafting if it were a points-based league or for some reason it was a league that made sense to tank those percentage categories. So, I mean, you knew what to expect from Westbrook. But, you know, if you are in those point-based leagues, he was an absolute monster. Devin Booker. Devin Booker's a guy, another guy who you just looked at his stats last year, looked at what he did, you know, especially like the insane amount of assists, everything else. It had to go down with Chris Paul joining that team. Someone else was going to have the ball in their hands a lot. Ben Simmons, similar issues to Westbrook, right? Like, you know, the three-point shot, free throw percentage is bad. But he doesn't score at the same level or really do anything at the same level Westbrook does. So I wasn't too surprised at how his season worked out. He did bite me. Of these guys mentioned so far, he's the one who did bite me a little bit. I had him on a couple of my important leagues. But Ja Morant, I mean, he's really the one. Everyone was drafting him, you know, I think he was going in the third round of a lot of leagues, maybe even second, you know, lower back half of the second round was probably the highest I saw him go. But everyone was expecting that year to jump. And we didn't see anything near that, right? Like he regressed essentially. I know he had a minor injury early in the season. And it seems like that was probably one of the reasons why he kind of dipped off. He was kind of just getting into he was starting to break out a little bit, had that injury. You know, the first couple games of the season were monstrous games for him. He had 68 fantasy points and 43 fantasy points those first two games. Then he had to leave early with an injury. And I just feel like, you know, then he missed 8 or 9 games and never really got back into that flow of what he kind of flashed those first two games of the season. So, you know, maybe that was part of it. Maybe he just never fully recovered from that injury and he's been playing 85, 90% this year. I'm still very high on him long-term, but he is the one who, you know, he played the majority of the season and he regressed, you know, or at the very least, we didn't see the improvement we would have expected in year two.
Yeah, he was kind of the guy, like I wrote the whole article and then I kind of thought about it and he was the guy, like I made the cover image because you're right. I mean, on CBS, his ADP was 32 and that was after he finished 74th last season on a per game basis. This year, when I wrote the article a couple days ago, he was 113. So yeah, he's not a top 100 player. The issues with him, I agree with you. I still really like him as a player and his long-term upside, but he doesn't hit threes. He does not get you steals, and his free throw percentage is bad. And that's a pretty rough combination when you're a point guard, or really any player. Like, that's kind of what happened to Devin Booker, too. Like, Booker's assists went down, but his free throw percentage went down, like, 6 points, because last year he had, like, an inflated free throw percentage. That's a category that can really tank players' fantasy values, and not a lot of people look at it, I think, as much as they should, especially when it's someone like Morant, who will get to the line you know, 5 to 10 times a game when he's aggressive.
Yeah. I think there's room for improvement there. Like, I believe in his skill set completely. I also feel like the Grizzlies, for whatever reason, kind of were, you know, there's been so many games where he's played under 30 minutes. You know, part of that's due to blowouts, the insanity of the schedule this year, the short turnaround in between games. You know, maybe he gets a little bit more unleashed next year. And he's out there playing 35, 36 minutes a game and really can control that team like he should be. I'm still really high. I think the flaws that he does have, you know, like the 3-point shooting will improve. That's going to be an obvious area for him to focus on moving forward.
Yeah, the other three guys that I put in the article were Yusuf Nurkic, who most of his issues are stemming from a lack of minutes, ending up still splitting time with Enes Kanter. D'Angelo Russell, whose, again, minutes are an issue for him. Every single statistic decreased from last season, so just collectively it brought him down. And then Blake Griffin, which, again, I try not to include guys who are like injury bitten, but this is besides that. When he was on the court, he was bad. Yeah. And then he got traded to the Nets, and obviously that tanked his value. And I didn't actually even look to compare whether or not he was technically better fantasy value on the Pistons or Nets, because it doesn't really care. Most people probably dropped him. But yeah, do you have any strong feelings on those three guys?
Well, I mean, with Blake Griffin, you know, he was a guy who I was heavy on investing, you know, as that late round bounce back guy. I had plenty of teams with both Blake Griffin and Kevin Love. So that did not work out well for me. And with Blake, it's just, he was bad. He was bad the last time he played. So, you know, it shouldn't be too surprising. Health, of course, was going to be an issue. We knew the Pistons were going to be bad, so that scenario was going to be muddled. So it's not – I knew it was a risky pick, and that's why he fell. That's why he was drafted so late. I know I got him much, much lower than the 60 ADP that he was going at once draft season concluded. You know, with Nurkic, a lot of it's just injury, right? You know, I know his per game – averages weren't what you would have wanted from him based on his ADP. But at the same time, he's another guy where I feel like he was just starting to really come into his own for this season and start producing well. And then everything got derailed with his injuries. So he kind of had to, once he got back, he had to ramp back up. D'Angelo Russell, kind of, you know, he's been good on a per minute basis when he plays, but the problem is, you know, Minnesota's bad. And then you had Anthony Edwards come join that team. And, you know, how is that going to work? The pecking order between Russell, Edwards, you know, you still had Rubio on that roster. Yeah. Malik Beasley. And of course, Kat. So it just wasn't necessarily the clear cut number two, or even if he was the number two on that team when everyone's healthy, you had enough guys who could do something behind him that it was going to drain some of his ceiling. And we saw that, and we're seeing it with Edwards, who has been, you know, for the issues, the field goal percentage, you know, the fact that he's putting up stats and, you know, a lot of losses and blowouts, raised the eyebrow for some, but Edwards has, I can't remember the last time a rookie has had two 40-point scoring games, which I'm pretty sure Edwards has done that now. So, he's scored 42 points twice, back on March 18th and then this week, May 5th. And I can't for the life of me remember the last time a rookie did that. I was going to look it up before the show and forgot. But he's been the last 6 weeks or so, how I feel about him long-term has changed drastically, much higher on him now than I was 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, he's been great. Since he scored the 42 points the first time, which was March 18th, he's averaging 23 points on 44% shooting, 34% from three, 75% for the free throw line. He's getting to the free throw line five times a game, which is pretty good for a rookie.
Yep.
You know, six rebounds, three assists, a steal and a half, half a block. He's been good. He's been a legitimately good NBA player. So yeah, I mean, his upside is definitely, you know, for the people that were like out on him right away. I think we kind of have to reassess where he's at.
Absolutely. And it's nice to see he and D'Angelo Russell are both starting now for Minnesota. Russell promoted back to the starting lineup this week. So that's good to see. You know, long term, that's what they need to do.
Let's move to a different topic. Lessons learned from this fantasy season. Nick Whalen wrote an article basically by the same title. There are some things that are obviously going to be this season specific with coronavirus that hopefully won't be an issue next season. But is there anything else that sticks out in your mind about either how you drafted, what guys you picked up off the wire, the general flow of the season that made you think, okay, next season I'm going to do this differently?
Yeah, it is really tough. You know, I will say the caveat being the COVID season and how that impacted the schedule, the short turnaround between games is why I believe we see so many players sitting out. You know, I don't think it's necessarily going to be as bad. And I think that's kind of motivated teams to further the tank. But I am going to be more hesitant to draft the good players on bad teams, especially if you know if there's basically a 0% chance this team's going to be competitive. So not like OKC last year when they had Chris Paul, but OKC this year or the Pistons this year. I'm going to be hesitant to really go after the SGAs or Jeremy Grants on those squads, just knowing that this team's going to tank and could end up sitting this player for significant stretches. Or, you know, if they have a four-game week, that player's sitting one of those games almost every week. That's something I don't want to have to deal with when I have a fantasy team, especially most of my lineups are weekly lineups. So I'm going to definitely take that in consideration. I think you have to take into consideration the flip side of it and the teams that are going to be so good that they have that cushion where they can rest guys. That's all going to be factoring into the types of players I draft. And I do think I'm going to try to find those competitive teams that need those players to play every game. It's going to be something I value more highly going into drafts next season.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA is trying to do what they can in terms of flattening the lottery odds and doing the play-in tournament and all this stuff to try to make sure teams are competitive for as long into the season as possible. Some of this also comes down to how deep into the season does your fantasy league go. I had a fantasy league that I ended on April 1st that I did with my friends because I was really worried. And I was like, I'm just ending this as soon as possible. But yeah, I agree. I mean, picking players on competitive teams, that's one thing that I think this season has highlighted. Nick wrote in his article, avoid the obvious injury risks with a picture of Kevin Love. But I don't mind your, because I also took Blake Griffin, and if he or Kevin Love falls to like 80, I'm just going to take him. I think there's still upside there, and I wasn't going to, you know, I don't even remember who else was in that range that I was going to feel like really good about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it is tough. I'm trying to pull up some of my best ball stuff. I'm curious to see how things actually end up turning out for me.
Best ball is interesting this year because of all the injuries, right? It really, some of it came down to how did you draft in round, like, you know, 15 to 20.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, some of the guys who I had high ownership of, yeah, on Underdog specifically, I know I had a ton of Kevin Love, a ton of Otto Porter, a ton of Blake Griffin, and a ton of Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. And that's, I mean, I had a ton of those guys because they all came with vast discounts on draft day. But it's, I mean, those are the team. I mean, those guys tanked my teams when you, especially when you have multiple injured guys. I think you know, being aware of how many of those risky picks you have on one squad is something to consider. So I know I'll try to limit that to, if I do take a deep dive on one of those guys, it's going to be one. It's not going to be three, because if you have three of them, it could tank your season.
I looked up the rookies with multiple 40-point games in NBA history. So Edwards is doing it this year, has two. The last player who did it was in 2018, which was Donovan Mitchell.
Okay, well, there you go. And that's actually, that's my comp. That is from the first game of the season when I first watched Anthony Edwards on an NBA basketball court, I said, he looks like a bigger Donovan Mitchell. Like same kind of confidence, demeanor, athleticism, except for he's bigger and stronger. That's
Edwards' athleticism is insane, man. Like between him and Zion, the rookie class is, well, not rookie class, but like the rookies that are coming into the league at this point, it's like, it's not fair.
Yeah.
Before that, it was 2011. It was Blake Griffin. And then you have to go all the way back to 1997 for Allen Iverson.
Makes sense.
Okay.
I would have guessed Brandon Jennings. I know he had one such game. So he would have been one guy I would have guessed. But yeah, no, Iverson, not surprising. Donovan Mitchell is not surprising either. I mean, he basically was the number one scoring option for the Jazz from day, you know, I will say from game seven of that season.
Before that, it was Michael Jordan was the last guy to do it. And the most 40-point games in NBA history by a rookie is the answer to every – no.
Oh.
It's the answer to every NBA trivia question.
Oh, Will Chamberlain.
Will Chamberlain. With 32 40-point games as a rookie. Okay, let's quickly jump to that's ridiculous, right? Let's go to the waiver wire. If you are still in a league, the few of you that are still in a league that has roster moves at this point, some suggestions for you. My suggestion, a player who's available in at least 50% of leagues is, I think it's pronounced Facundo Campazzo, who is roster in 28% of Yahoo and 23% of ESPN leagues. This is the Nuggets starting point guard now that Jamal Murray is out. The past 2 weeks, he's basically averaging 11 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 2.5 steals, and 1.3 threes. He's just not a scorer. He's a passing guy, and he's a steals guy. So especially if you need those categories, he's someone to pick up. But he's consistently playing 30 minutes a game at this point. He's locked in. He'll continue to be locked in through the playoffs. If you're in a postseason NBA league and you need a deep cut, Campazzo is an option of someone you could take in like maybe the very last round, depending on how deep your postseason league is.
He's going to be an interesting postseason pick. Absolutely. And maybe next week we dive in and do some more postseason coverage, do some rankings and discussion there. So for the final week of the season, May 10th through the 16th, you have, let's see, three or four or five. The Pacers have five games. The Grizzlies, the Bucks, and the Spurs. All four of those teams have five games. So if there's anyone, any of the rotational players or starters available from those teams, it might be worth picking them up if you're looking to stream in some options for the final game of the season. Likewise, the three-game teams are the Pistons, the Thunder. Okay, see, this is good. Pistons and Thunder, two of the teams with the most frustrating rotations. You can discard those players and go pick up somebody who has five games next week. That's an ideal swap, actually. That'll be great for you. Now, my pickups, you know, for under 50%, we'll go Mo Bamba. He's really starting to pick up his play. Wendell Carter is out right now. I believe he's out for tonight. Double check here.
I'm pretty sure he's out.
Yeah, and I believe he's ruled out a couple days ago. But the last two games, Bamba's averaging 50 fantasy points. He had a monster 19, 15, three steal, four block game against the Celtics. They lost that game, the Magic, by like 40 points. But they don't have anyone else. If Carter Jr.'s out, they don't have anyone else to plug in there. So Bam is going to get the minutes. Yeah, Carter left the, I believe he suffered the eye injury against the Pistons, and left that game early, and then missed the game against the Celtics, and it's basically been all Mo Bamba since Carter left. So Mo Bamba only owned in 48% of Yahoo leagues, 28% of ESPN. He could be a monster, especially my guess is they'll take it slow with Carter. No reason to rush him back.
Yeah, I agree. I think, no reason to rush Carter back. Hopefully next season they play him together a little bit with Isaac. I think that would be a ridiculous lineup. It would be a lot
that, yeah, that lineup's going to be insane. If you have all three of those guys, that's like 38 feet of wingspan.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of like opponents. There's going to be a lot of 85 to 90 finishes of those games. My long shot of the week, Trevor Ariza, 16% roster on Yahoo, 8% on ESPN, ranked 69th over the past 2 weeks, averaging 12.6 rebounds, 2 threes, 2 assists, and a steal and a half. He's starting in power forward for them. He's playing real minutes. And we've seen, Ariza's pretty old at this point. He might be 35 or 36, but he's still, he's going to basically... Ariza at this point is the guy who just runs to the corners, runs up and down the court, gets his threes, jogs back, grabs a couple boards, plays some good defense. Not a bad pickup if you're in a deep league, obviously, since he's a starter and he actually is productive. You got a long shot for us, Shannon?
Oh, man. I was trying to find someone on one of those four teams with that have five games next week. I mean, maybe Devin Vassell. He hasn't been great. Yeah, he's got five games. And the one worry for me there, he's been starting as well, which is interesting, but he hasn't been very productive. The one I would actually feel better about him if the Spurs weren't in contention for the play-in. Because I think they would run him out there 30 minutes a game, no questions asked. He's coming off latest game. He started against Utah. It was a blowout. He played 31 minutes. He has five games. So if you have a three-game guy on your roster, if you have Ty Jerome or Hamidou Diallo, from the Thunder or the Pistons, and they are only scheduled for three games, go pick up Vassell. And plug him in. Those extra two games are enough to move the needle where even if the production's lower.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's going to be a better option for you next week.
Vassell's a guy, too, I think should be considered in like dynasty formats, keeper formats, depending on your league's pickup rules. He's been pretty good as a 3-and-D guy for the Spurs for 36, averaging about 2 made threes and 2.2 combined steals plus blocks. So, not a bad option there. Let's jump to our Friday DFS. This is a 10-game slate this Friday. The highest over-under is Rockets at Bucks at 232.5. That's the highest total by about 6 points. Keep in mind, this Rockets game or this Rockets roster, they're As of last night, there were 13 players on the injury report for the Rockets. Some of those guys were out. Some of them were questionable, like Olenek, Christian Wood. So just keep that in mind as you are building your lineups and thinking about that. But on this date 20 years ago, the Spurs went up 2-0 in the playoffs against the Mavericks with a final score of 100-86. Michael Finley had 24-7-4 with two steals for Dallas. Tim Duncan went for 25-22-6-1-1 in that game. The scoring continues to be ridiculous from 20 years ago to now. Main injuries, we have Anthony Davis as probable. Keep in mind, if you look for official news, he might be listed as questionable, but he said he expects to play. Questionable guys, Jimmy Butler, Harrison Barnes, Kelly Olynyk, Christian Wood. Doubtful guys are Porzingis and Steven Adams. One of the guys I like, actually, there's going to be some decent value, I think, in the Charlotte versus Orlando game. Because I kind of like LaMelo Ball, too. I think he's interesting in this game. But Mo Wagner at 4,900. He's starting at power forward with Chuma Okeke out. He's been pretty good lately. Like, has definitely shown upside for 25 to 35 fantasy points. He's playing real minutes as well. So, again, like, you can fit him into any lineup, cash game, GPP. And I think he's a pretty good bet to hit at least 25 fantasy points. Is there anybody that sticks out to you right away when you look at this slate?
Yeah, I like Kenyon Martin. He's coming off a big game. Like you mentioned, the entire Rockets team is on the injury report, except for Kenyon Martin. He's one of the few that's not. He's at 5,600 on FanDuel. Even though Tate might return, we've got Tate, Olynyk, and Wood all. They're all game time decisions. We've got all three listed in the expected lineup for now. My guess is even if those three play, I feel like Martin still gets the start. They don't have a point guard. They don't have like any guards to really play. And Martin might be that de facto guard. He played 44 minutes last game, 48 fantasy points. He picked up 6 assists that game as well. So, you know, it's interesting. I think almost anyone who does end up playing for the Rockets can be interesting. Olynyk's been an absolute beast. And if he's in the lineup, I expect another monster performance from him. He'll lead that team in assists tonight if he plays. Armani Brooks, if you're looking for a cheap option, again, it's just more about the fact that he's going to need to play 35 to 40 minutes. He hasn't been great production-wise, but if he plays 40 minutes, I still expect 25 fantasy points from a guy who's almost a minimum price player.
I want to say quickly, Olynyk is practically winning me the stake league that we're in together with our work colleagues.
It's insane how good he's been. I'm going to pull up the stats. So we're just going to go over the past 7 games. Olynyk's averaging 21, 10 rebounds, 5.7 assists, 2.1 steals, and 1.6 3-pointers. Let's put
Kelly Olynyk All-NBA instead of Julius Randle. Kelly Olynyk is putting up Julius Randle-type numbers.
I am avoiding Bucks in that game,
yeah.
That's going to be a 30-point blowout. I would be surprised if the Bucks end up resting some players. We'll have to see what happens there. I mentioned Mo Bamba earlier. Wendell Carter is out. He's already been ruled out for Friday. So, you know, with that in mind, my guess is Mo Bamba sees 35-plus minutes and easily, you know, exceeds value. I mean, he's 35 minutes, I would say he's locked for 40 fantasy points. It's really, for me at center, it's between Olynyk or Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba is the cheaper option at 6,900.
Yeah, I think if that might be a situation where you want to keep up with news, see if Olynyk's on a minutes limit if he plays, that sort of a thing. Another guy I like quickly, Kyle Kuzma. Just at this point, he's 5,500. LeBron's out. It's just you could put him in your lineup and build around that if you want. You know, because obviously he is, his floor is like 22 fantasy points. So that's almost value anyway. And then you add upside for, I mean, you should never really expect them to get more than 35, but it's possible. And they're playing Portland, who is not good on defense. Although I'm not sure if he'll get shaded by Covington, that would be a problem. But it's a decent value play.
He is a decent value play. I mean, he's coming off 45 point fantasy outing last night. You know, that was essentially a game Anthony Davis left early. So essentially a game without, they didn't have anyone. They had no Schroeder, no Talen Horton Tucker. He was out, you know, LeBron out and Davis left early. So they were extremely shorthanded. I agree. I usually not all that enthused to plug Kuzma into my lineup, but he is a good option for tonight.
Yeah, and Schroeder's obviously still out as well. They just need scoring wherever they can get it. I kind of mentioned LaMelo Ball earlier. He's coming off a bad game. It was a blowout, though. They lost to Chicago. They played 24 minutes. But, I mean, against Orlando, I mean, Cole Anthony's not going to guard him. Maybe they'll put Gary Harris on him. I don't know. He could easily go off for 44, which is what he did 2 days ago or 2 games ago, I should say. But 7,500 for the price on FanDuel, I'm not upset. I don't love that price. It's nice. I don't love it.
I mean, that's a guy who's got like 60 point upside as far as fantasy points go. So I think he's definitely playable even at 7,500. The matchup's good. You know, it's just a matter of, is he cleared for 34, 35 minutes yet? My guess is probably. It was a wrist injury. It wasn't anything to do with the lower body where they would maybe be a little bit more cautious. I like LaMelo a lot. I also like a lot of the other options that are in that price range. I mean, DeJounte Murray, he's 7,800. The matchup against the Kings, that's going to be a ridiculous game. Kemba Walker with no Jaylen Brown, he's at 7,600. He had like 45 fantasy points in only 28 minutes in his most recent game. And then DeLon Wright, 7,000. Sounds like a lot for DeLon Wright, but he's averaging 60 fantasy points over the past two games. Like essentially, since he got plugged in the starting lineup, filling in for De'Aaron Fox and Haliburton, who was the initial injury fill-in, he's just, DeLon Wright's a monster. It's so much defensive upside. Even at 7,000, like I think he's with that team. I feel like you have to play him. They have no one else to run out there. You know, it's the Buddy Hield and DeLon Wright show.
I know. It's just like over his past two games, he has 36 points, 17 rebounds, 14 assists, 10 steals, and 5 blocks. He's like, this is like prime Michael Jordan that we're watching in Sacramento with DeLon Wright. It's just that it's that point in the season.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Does it, I didn't even realize RJ Hampton's up to 6,300. He's been good lately.
Been really good. My best keeper in the staff keeper league. Oh yeah. He's been really good. Yeah. It's, and that's, you know, to the detriment of Cole Anthony, that's what makes the Orlando rotation is frustrating to behold. You know, I was watching the Pistons Orlando game the other night, and Cole Anthony had like 4 rebounds and 2 assists in the first 5 minutes of the game, and then he didn't play almost at all the rest of the game. It was RJ Hampton time. RJ Hampton came in and dominated the Pistons. Flirted with the triple double, put up 47 fantasy points. Everyone in that Orlando rotation outside of Bamba, I think with Carter Jr. out, Bamba's safe, but everyone else is risky.
That is for sure. Is there anybody else that stands out to you before we wrap this up?
Well, we got them all covered.
Okay. Well, Ken's not here, which means that I don't think we've mispronounced any names. And there's no old man rant unless you have something that you need to get off your chest. And there's no out quote. So that That's pretty much going to wrap it up for us.
So it's boring when we don't have the old man around.
I know. We did have two old man rants last week because Mike Barner went on a rant about the amount of streaming services there are. So I think we'll kind of roll that over. We mentioned that again. So that will be our old man rant for this week as well. So thank you everybody for joining us on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. You can find this on Spotify. You can find it on YouTube, basically wherever you get podcasts. Thank you everybody, and we will see you next week.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.